Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we have such a fun program planned today because we're going to be talking about a business person who has done something to help you be more healthy. And I love this concept because we're going to mix and match all sorts of topics here. But I do believe that we cannot be successful in our business if we aren't healthy. And so we need to do as much as we possibly can to make sure that we're doing everything we can to be healthy. And then, of course, that goes into our personal life, too. So please join me in welcoming Leslie Danford to our program today. Welcome, Leslie. How are you?
Good, Deb. Thanks so much for having me.
Cool. I love it. I love it. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you and then we'll jump into this. So Leslie Danford is the founder and CEO of Vita Minis, a clean label functional food and beverage brand. She has always been passionate about nutrition, but she's not a foodie. For her, it's like a math equation and it's important to cover all of your nutritional bases. In 2020, yep, that year, she combined her personal interests with her formal business training to launch Vita Minis. Previously, she worked in beverages and consumer products at large corporations. She earned her MBA from Harvard and her BA from the University of Chicago. Clearly not a slouch. So please join me in welcoming Leslie to our program today. Welcome. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
I love it. I love it. Well, I always like finding out from my guests how they got to where they are today. So tell us a little bit more about your story.
Sure. And I'm trying to think how far back to go.
It's okay. I've had people say, when I was 6 years old.
I will start there, really, because I do think a lot of the seeds were planted when I was a kid. So a couple of fronts, there was like the entrepreneurial front and there's the nutrition side. Mm-hmm. And then it all kind of came together. So on the nutrition side, I grew up in the 80s and my mom traveled for work. So she was on the road working and my dad, who was a scientist, was on point for my meals. I was an only child for most of my childhood. Mm-hmm. It's a little unusual back then to have your dad on point and there were no cell phones for this time or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So my scientist dad was in charge of meals and he would talk about meals like, we need our protein, we need our vegetables and our vitamins, and we need our carbohydrates. And like, it was like the math equation. Mm-hmm. And that is still how I think about it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I assumed for a while that everyone thought about food that way.
As opposed to, I just want a bowl of Fruit Loops.
Yeah. So no, that is not how everyone thinks about food. But that was like a big foundation for how I think about eating. And my dad was also, I wouldn't say he was like anti-medicine, but he was always kind of like, we don't need to just jump to taking a pill. Let's see what we can do with our food and our exercise and our sleep first. So that sort of nowadays, I think, is this food is medicine trend. Mm-hmm. But the seeds were planted for me when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. On the entrepreneurial side, I also, as a kid, had that bug. Mm-hmm. So my mom likes to tell about all the different businessy type ventures that I did. So I would write books and ask to borrow money to copy them. Write books, I mean like coloring books. And ask for money to copy them and then go sell them on the street. So I had these kind of tendencies. And then in college, I actually was part of a group called the Chicago Entrepreneurial Group, where I met my husband, who is also an entrepreneur. And so even in college, I knew I wanted, like there was something about starting a business that was exciting to me, but it took me a while to get around to it. So I had more of a traditional business career path in the beginning of my career. Mm-hmm. So I worked in finance for a little while. I went to business school. I always liked working in consumer products because to me, products that you can touch and feel that people use every day, it's kind of where it's at. Mm-hmm. So after business school, I worked in consulting for several years in consumer products and had a chance to learn a lot about how that kind of business works. And then after I was in consulting, I worked in beverages, in alcoholic beverages. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that was an interesting experience because I learned a lot about beverages, but I did feel like there was a sort of inherent tension working in that space because we would see a lot of research coming in about how people wanted clean label, functional, better for you. And there was nothing we were going to do with that research in the alcoholic beverage space. But in my personal life, I thought, yes, like this is great. This is what I want this too. You know, the whole food is medicine movement, functional food. So it was an interesting time. I learned a lot about beverages, but I kind of felt torn between what I wanted and thought was great, but what versus what I was doing, which is definitely not health. But I started just kind of filing away the information and thinking like someone should do this. And fast forward towards the pandemic, I had just moved out of the alcoholic beverage industry into the hospitality space in 2019.
Oh, no.
So needless to say, pandemic rolls around, alcoholic beverages are booming. And the company I went to work for, which was a high growth hotel company, ended up shutting down for the most part. So I was out of the workforce. My kids, which had been in daycare, were at home. Their daycares closed down. My husband was still working because he worked remotely. And I was sort of thrown out of my element. And I thought, okay, I got I'm on point for the nutrition. I got to prepare meals and everything. But it's hard to do that and get all your nutritional needs met from food. Didn't like supplements. Pills make me nauseous. Gummy vitamins taste good, but they're really sugary. I want to eat every single day. And I said, where is that clean label, functional food or beverage that delivers the nutrients and the function without all that extra stuff? And I didn't see it. And I had known from my time in the beverage industry, all this research was saying that's what people wanted, but I did not see anything like that.
You silly millennials just want to be healthier.
I know. Well, hey, I enjoy my unhealthy stuff too, but it's like you got to have that foundation.
Right.
So I didn't see anything like it. And it sort of started, the seed was planted in my mind. And I would not say that I immediately said, okay, I'm not going back to corporate. I'm going to start a company. And that's my, it was more like it just couldn't, I couldn't quite forget about it. And I started tinkering and investigating as I was still looking for other jobs at the same time. And one thing led to another. And that was how Vitamin E started.
I love it. So much fun. You know, and I mean, not only did you launch your company during COVID, you were 8 months pregnant. I mean, you know, it was kind of one of those things where, you know, it was, but if anything, it kind of forced those creative juices to be going.
Totally. That is definitely true. I think being out of my element was a big part of it because when you're in your routine, you know, you get up, you do your thing, you go to your job.
Right.
You don't necessarily have, your brain doesn't have the chance to make connections that it wouldn't otherwise make. And it really took getting out of that grind to have the idea.
Right. You know, and it's funny, I joke about millennials. Well, we, of course, raised the millennials. So, you know, and I think obviously the baby boomer generation really did start thinking, okay, a Big Mac is nice, but, right? You know, and all of the various things. And you know, I like fast food as much as the next person, all of those things. But I also start thinking about what is it really that I'm eating? The processed food, you know, when you look at something and realize that it has a shelf life of months, maybe years, you know, now part of, I laugh and I joke and I say, okay, I've had so much of that I will live forever because I have all those things in me. Right. But it, you know, I understand why they do it. I mean, you know, we all can't just, you know, go to the farm and pick what we're doing and, you know, but, you know, and so we have to have some degree of some things, but as you said, we need to counterbalance that with being as healthy as we can, you know, and, you know, having a treat is fine, but it's, you know, it should be a treat. And the really funny thing is I have noticed that, you know, and a lot of people I've talked to, you know, that have gone much healthier, whether it's cutting down on sugar, which is a big thing, cutting down on alcohol. Ooh, well, maybe.
growing trend, though. Right. And I remember when I was in the industry, Gen Z does not drink alcohol. They do. You know, a lot of marijuana, but.
I'm from Colorado. but yeah, it is one of those things where we do start thinking about it more and more. And so it was so interesting because you sent me samples. And so those who are listening, the sample bottles are about the size of one of those energy drinks, right? So it's not an overwhelming amount that you're going to, you know, sip all morning. It's kind of a glug glug type of thing. But I wanted to read this because I thought this was very important. And so this one is for immune support. And we're going to talk about the two products that you have because you do just do two. But I want to read the ingredients because that's the important thing. And of course, here we go, trying to read this with my bad eyes. Water, orange juice concentrate, pineapple juice concentrate, magnesium citrate, ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C, citrus flavors, zinc, and citrus. There's nothing in there that I have to look up in the dictionary or that I can't even spell. Now, the only reason I stumbled over some words is because they're pretty teeny and my eyes are pretty bad. But yeah, there's only good stuff in here. And I think that's the thing that we're getting more and more conscious about. I mean, even just the people who are saying, they're upping their water intake, right? As you take a drink. That's mm-hmm. so funny. But yeah, we are thinking more about how we can take care of ourselves and those around us.
Yes, for sure. And I'm so glad you read the ingredients because one of my principles when I started mm-hmm. the company mm-hmm. was no mystery ingredients.
Right.
So no added sugar, no mystery ingredients. I didn't want anything where mm-hmm. when you read it, you were like, what is that?
Right.
But, you know, you mentioned shelf stable and it is a little nuanced because mm-hmm. vitamin E's are shelf stable and they mm-hmm. do have a long
shelf life. I had asked you, do these need to go in the fridge?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they do have a long shelf mm-hmm. life. But there's different ways to go about it. So it is good to be educated because mm-hmm. sometimes foods are made shelf stable with a long mm-hmm. shelf life by adding chemical preservative.
Right. Mm-hmm. The things and that we're going boogity, boogity, boogity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we do for vitamin E's shots mm-hmm. is called the hot fill process. You basically okay. heat the product to kill the germs.
Okay.
And then it becomes shelf stable without mm-hmm. needing to mm-hmm. add anything to
right.
it. But that was important to me at the time mm-hmm. because it was during COVID. So I mm-hmm. knew it had to be e-commerce friendly. Mm-hmm. I knew it had to be shippable.
Right.
But I also wanted it to be mm-hmm. no mystery ingredients, clean mm-hmm. label. So that was one of the first things I had to mm-hmm. figure out.
Right. You know, and obviously it's going to have a shorter shelf life, just, you know, than the things that have the 900 bazillion preservatives in it. But the other drawback is that when we get, and this is just kind of one of those oxymorons of the world, the healthier something is, sometimes the more expensive it is, right? Our 99-cent cheeseburger at fast food, as opposed to eating a nutritious meal. And that's, you know, like that's why we don't see people shopping as much as they should at Whole Foods and, you know, things like that is it does tend to, it is cheaper and easier to put some of the man-made type of things into food products as opposed to having them natural.
Yes, totally. Yeah. And you just have to be smarter about that. And I forget sometimes because I'm deep in this world mm-hmm. that not everyone has the background to read a food
right.
label and not everyone even does it. Mm-hmm. But I do think we're moving mm-hmm. more in that direction. And like right. you said, people are starting to look mm-hmm. for added sugar mm-hmm. and starting to know mm-hmm. some key things to avoid. Mm-hmm. So that's right. a good thing.
Right. Yeah. And I did not say the word sugar, right?
No, there's no added sugar in there. Right. Nope. No yeah. added sweeteners
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful too, because sometimes products will have things like agave syrup, corn syrup, we mm-hmm. all know
right.
is bad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that is added sugar.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or even honey, and some things like that. Now, obviously, honey is much better for you. Brown unprocessed sugar. I mean, you know, there are ways to have those. But Mother Nature makes stuff pretty good to start with. And I think what happens is when we start that whole processing of them, we're drawing those sugars out. So then we have to add it back in order to make it taste good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. So you just have to be a little bit careful about that. But that was something I really felt strongly about with mm-hmm. vitamin E's. And it's funny, I understand how difficult it is to break mm-hmm. away from some of these sort of accepted norms mm-hmm. of products, because even when I was formulating the product, I was working with a food scientist to help mm-hmm. me kind of make sure mm-hmm. And he said, you have to add sugar. You have to add something or people won't buy it. Mm-hmm. You have to add color because if it doesn't look a certain way, people won't buy it. And I had to kind of like fight the system.
Right. Well, and it's funny. I don't even know what color this is because it's in a bottle, but it looks like it's kind of a pretty color. You know, it's and it's funny. I don't like green drinks. I don't know why. There's just something about green drinks that I...
They are trendy, though.
I know. I know. And you probably have a green drink there in the
I'm about to come out with one, actually. Yes.
I know. You know, and I don't know what it is, but it's just kind of one of those things. But yeah, so I'm looking here. And so like on your website. So the one that I just read off is the immune support. And it has, where'd it go? I've lost it on the website. It has as much zinc as 4 avocados. It has orange pineapple flavor, naturally. It has as much magnesium as 5 cups of spinach. There's my green stuff, right? And as much vitamin C as 3 oranges. You know, and so, yeah, just all this good stuff. You know, and then you also have one for gut health, which is very important. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But you mentioned this whole process. So first of all, what did your husband think when you said, I'm going to go into this business?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. He and I met, like I said, in the Chicago Entrepreneurial Group. Mm-hmm.
So he knew that you were already.
He knew. And so that was a long time ago now, but he actually started a business and built it for 10 years and sold it. Mm-hmm. All the while I was kind of like the one in corporate with the insurance.
Right. Insurance. Yeah.
So honestly, when this time came around, I thought, you know, we had this conversation. I was like, I really would like to please take a turn doing something. But it's a very big investment, not just of money and time, but it's a lifestyle change, right? It's, you know, and it's a long time. I don't think I even fully appreciated how long these things take. And so it is a big deal. But in the very beginning, I was really just kind of tinkering and trying. And so that's a lot easier to justify, right? It's like, I'm going to put a little bit of money in to see if this idea works, and then we'll just go from there, as opposed to I'm going to take our life savings and put it in here all at once. But I think overall, he was excited for me, and he knows how passionate and interested I am in holistic wellness and nutrition. So even knowing that I was working on something that I felt so personally strong about, I think he was happy with me for that.
Well, and I always think it's such a fabulous example to be setting for your kids. You know, and that's not to say that it's not a good example for somebody to be in corporate America and doing all those things. But, you know, I think it's great to show your kids that, you know, there's other ways to be considering, especially from a Harvard graduate, right?
Oh, yeah, thank you. I do try to think about that because, you know, it's tempting to just share all the big wins, like, oh, let's go to the grocery store and find vitamins on the shelf.
But oh, yeah. Isn't that funny? The first time, did you take lots of pictures?
Oh, yeah. They thought that was really cool. But I also try to share with them, like, some of the rejections. Like, you know, I told them, you know, I pitched to this big name retailer that they heard of. And they said, oh, how did it go? And I said, well, they're not ready to do it yet. And, you know, and it's big, but it's important for them to understand that that is part of the process. Right. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you're going to quit. You're just going to keep trying. Right. So, yeah.
Well, and we've talked about on this program a lot that failures lead to successes, you know, and we have to learn from those failures in order to be successful, you know, and I don't think there's probably anything that hasn't come about from, you know, some type of failure. And obviously there's lots of different degrees of failure, but even I'm guessing like when you were doing this, you might've, you know, made some and went, ooh, yuck, blah, right?
Yeah. Lots of those examples.
Yeah. You know, and so then that just means, okay, we need to do this differently, right? Not we're going to stop doing it. We need to do it differently. You know, and so, yeah, it's, and you know, we hear about people who have bankruptcies, all sorts of things, and they learn from it. Unfortunately, we saw a lot of stuff during COVID, right? Where businesses just, for whatever reason, were not able to survive. I mean, you mentioned the hospitality industry, which will never be the same, you know, but they have learned. Right. You know, we all got really spoiled that they would change our towels and our sheets every night in a hotel. now they're probably not going to do that quite so much. And it's okay. Now I feel bad that they're not employing as many as they used to. I mean, that's kind of one of the downsides to that. But yeah, we kind of took COVID and, you know, learned from those pandemic pivot points.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of learnings. And I have so many stories like that. But that, and actually, that is, I think, one of the harder parts about being an entrepreneur is weathering those rejections, hurdles, failures, because it is, you could quit at any time. Like any of these things could be your excuse of like, well, this isn't working. I'm just going to stop. So it's tough. And honestly, there are times where maybe you really do want to quit, but you're actually kind of tied in and there's no really easy way out of it. And that's fine because you get through it and then you realize there's another way. So it works out.
I love it. You know, and a big part of why we have problems is we don't plan. You know, I talk a lot on the program about knowing who your target market is. I mean, your target market is not everybody. Yes, everybody could benefit, but not everybody's going to buy your product. You know, and so you're not marketing. I tell people it's like Starbucks, right? My husband does not like Starbucks. He is not their target market. You know, he just wants a plain old cup of coffee. Now I want my fancy smancy, woochie woochie, you know, all sorts of stuff. But yeah, you have to know who you are, but you also have to know what your why is. So what is your why? I mean, you kind of talked about it a little bit, but what is your why?
So I really do believe in this whole food is medicine thing. And it's not just that like eating well keeps you from getting sick, which is part, sometimes and often true, but also when you eat well and take care of your body, and the same goes for sleep and everything else, you have energy and motivation. So you can actually pursue your dreams and be a better mom, friend, wife, whatever. So it's so much bigger than just not getting sick. So that's part of it is like this belief that like we all need to, that like this is the way to live. But then also it shouldn't be so hard and painful to get that done, right? It's like we all need to take care of our bodies, but it can be so difficult, especially if you can't swallow pills or you don't have the ability to like get everything from a whole foods perspective every single day, which is hard because our produce today doesn't have as much nutrients as it used to. But if you eat processed foods, your gut doesn't absorb the nutrients like it used to. So there's all of that. And then if you do need to supplement, you know, maybe you can't swallow pills or you're already taking several pills or it's just a chore. I really believe everyone should be able to do this and it should be easy and fun without trade-offs. Like you shouldn't feel like you're getting a ton of sugar. You shouldn't feel like you're eating a lot of chemicals. I think we should have it all. That's kind of the mission is like, it should be easy, tasty, and fun to get those nutritional needs met so that you can live a better life.
Right. You know, and easy is a big part of this, right? Because we're busy. We're, you know, the people who make the big smoothies with the, you know, the broccoli and the, see here, they're going to make it green, right? That's why I don't like it. And they do all that. They spend like a half hour doing that. No, I'm not going to do that. You know, and that's what's cool about a product like yours is, you know, grab and go. That I think that that does play into this is there are people who love that. It's funny. I got, especially during COVID, more into cooking and taking that, taking my time and doing all those things. Now I have a kitchen that is kind of, you wouldn't be a chef's kitchen, but it's, you know, I got a lot of counter space, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. And I'm just cooking for me and my husband, which is always kind of the challenging thing, right? Which makes it easy just to pull the frozen pizza out. But part of it for me is that process. The chopping, the doing all, now I don't like the planning. No. Just somebody tell me what meals I'm supposed to fix and I'll do everything else. But it is, you know, it's therapeutic to me to be cooking and doing those things. Because as I'm doing that, I'm focusing on don't cut your thumb off, don't cut your thumb off, as opposed to somebody was mean to me today, or this didn't work, or whatever. You know, and how much is just the right amount of salt, you know, and all of those things. But we're also thinking more about, okay, I don't have to go to a gym and work out. I can do a walk. I can get outside. And of course, we saw that a lot with COVID, where people were getting out and about. I think part of it was we just went stir crazy. Yeah, we got out, we discovered those things. And then the bad part is we got out of that habit, right? We went back into real life. It was just kind of interesting those times when we were more in touch with what was going on.
Yeah, totally. And it's true. You have to kind of understand what brings you joy. Like if something brings you joy, great. Mm-hmm. I just was speaking to someone else who's more of an exercise physiologist, and she was saying, if you love cardio, great, but cardio is not necessarily like the most important exercise. Right. You need weightlifting and stuff like that. But like, if it brings you joy, go for it, you know? So you're cooking and all this stuff.
Yeah. You know, I look at somebody who is a marathon runner and I'm like, no, no.
I've done it a couple times.
Oh, you know, and I mean, that's just not me. And you know, I grew up, I'm an only child also. See, this is why we get along. Where my mom firmly believed that sports were very important to participate in, especially the team aspect, which I understand that, but oh my God, am I so not graceful? You know, I could be dribbling the ball and trip over the line in the floor, right? And all the running drills, that was just never what I wanted to do. And so I grew up not liking it, but you send me out to take a walk and I'm a happy little camper. You know, I'm actually doing a fundraising right now for the American Cancer Society where we're supposed to walk with our dog. It's, it's very specific. I mean, it is, you know, 30 miles walking with your dog in June. And people went, oh my God, you're walking 30 miles a day. No, one mile a day. just getting out and saying hi to people on the trails and, you know, all of those things. But it takes time. And that is kind of one of those drawbacks like we were talking about.
Yeah, totally. So I think it's like, to me, it's like, you got to know what you love and you can't do everything. So you pick. And if you don't love juicing vegetables and shopping and like doing all of that, or you don't have the time, I have four kids. So if you love it, but you don't have the time, Vitamin E wants to make it easy and fun. So it doesn't feel like you're suffering.
I love it. You know, and again, you've got the two products, immune support and gut health. Are there plans to have more?
Yeah. So funnily enough, my third one that I'm planning is called Daily Greens, and it is a green shot, similar idea.
Well, if you hide it in a bottle that I can't see, that's okay.
Oh, but it's going to have a green label, so you'll know.
Okay.
That's kind of like the near term, but longer term, I've been visiting Vitamin E's has a whole portfolio of mini bites and sips is how I talk about it. So little shots, little bars and bites that all are based on whole foods with no mystery ingredients, no added sugar, but delivering extra nutrition and benefits for you.
I love it. Let's talk about the process. You know, are you doing this in your kitchen? How do you create these?
So I've heard that a lot from people, like, do you make this in your kitchen? And I think that's kind of like your stereotypical startup story. But for a bottled product like this, a packaged product, you can't really do that at home. So I had to find a company that can put the juice in the bottles for me.
Okay.
And this hot fill process that we talked about, heating the product, making it shelf stable, and packaging it all together. So I do work with a co-packer, actually a couple co-packers I work with. And they kind of get that done. But finding the right partner and that can handle the tiny bottles and can process, that was a bit of a challenge in the beginning, but now it's good. And on the topic of shelf stability too, I know we were going to talk about gut health. This product was really tricky for me to figure out because you want to kill the germs to make it shelf stable, but you have to keep probiotics
alive. Right, which are germs.
Right, the good germs, exactly. So what we ended up doing for this product is we used a spore-based probiotic. So in layman's terms, it's a probiotic that has kind of like a shell to protect it. So when we heat up this gut health product, it kills all the bacteria that are bad for you. The spore-based probiotic stays alive. But the double benefit, and we had touched on this before we started recording, is a spore-based probiotic can get deeper into your guts because it is protected. So some gut health bacteria might kind of populate your stomach or your like upper small intestine, but a spore-based probiotic can get like deep into your gut. So that's another added benefit of it.
I love it. Yeah. And it's only been fairly recently that we really were talking about gut health, just kind of overall, and that it is the basis for everything. You know, if our guts are healthy, it improves our immune system, you know, all sorts of things. And it really was hammered home to me when I had so many surgeries that, you know, it was just, my nutritional needs are very different than they were 10 years ago. And so I have to have supplements because my body does not absorb things now the way it used to, you know, and finding ones that, as you said, are healthy, that is the challenge because I do gummies and I'm pretty sure now I've never been brave enough, let me put it that way, to actually read the ingredients. And I, probably if I would, I'd go never touching these again, right? Because one of the first things is probably going to be sugar.
So gummies, it's funny because I don't like to have super strict rules because I feel like anytime you have super strict rules, life becomes hard. So I don't, you know, for me, it's like, okay, sometimes I might take a gummy and sometimes I might do this or that. But I know when I was giving gummies to my kids, the serving size was, I think it was four or six gummies per kid. So I had like handfuls of candy. And I know when I take them, you kind of like feel it on your teeth a little bit.
Right.
So it's the sugar, yes, but it's also that texture that sticks to your teeth. It's kind of like a double whammy.
Right. It's the gummy, jello-y.
Yeah, it sticks. So it's not great for your teeth. And the other thing I'll say about gummies is they're not the most efficient vehicle for capturing and delivering vitamins and nutrients.
Right.
So liquid is actually the most easily digested. Mm-hmm. Capsules are okay, but they don't always get fully digested.
Right.
I've heard if you have a colonoscopy or an endoscopy, they'll actually find sometimes
they'll find little pieces
stuck in your gut. But gummies, they don't. So the reason that their servings are 4 to 6 gummies is because you have to have a lot of it to get enough of vitamins to just like capture it as easily. And the other thing I've heard about gummies is sometimes if the batches aren't stirred properly, you might get one gummy with a ton of content and another gummy that.
Right. I mean, that just kind of makes sense. You know, it just doesn't.
There was a big scandal about that with melatonin because some people were giving like their kids a melatonin gummy that might have like 3 times as much that they didn't realize and that the other ones weren't working. So it's just something to keep in mind. It's not that they're terrible, but they're not the best.
Right. Well, and in many cases, it is better than nothing. You know, so that's the thing. But, you know, and of course, the tricky thing with them is that there are lots of things in there. And it's not just the bad stuff, you know, the chemicals and things like that. Sometimes it's just all sorts of other things that are in there that you really aren't needing. Now I know, you know, that your body sloughs off in most cases what it doesn't need. So it's not like you can take an overdose of you know, certain vitamins and things. Now, some of them you really shouldn't take too much of.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, because, you know, you can take too much. But it's so interesting. And so like I'm looking here at, you know, your gut health one, and it has as much potassium as 10 bananas. Potassium is one of the things that I'm always really low on. I take a lot of potassium in a day. It's one of those things that for whatever reason, my body does not have enough potassium but I'm also not going to eat 10 bananas in a day, right? I like bananas, but I'm not going to eat 10 bananas. And so that's part of this too, is like we said, it makes it easier, to get that, in a nice, healthy way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it is hard. Like I know this, also the immune support has as much magnesium as 5 cups of spinach. And you may get that if you had a big honking spinach.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you're not going to do that every day either. I mean, that is the other thing is, you know, we come and go with how we eat because we're busy, you know, we're all of these things. I mean, you mentioned your mom traveling, and I think that was one of the funniest things that I heard from people when they stopped traveling during COVID was, they did start eating better because they weren't eating on the run or hotel food or things like that. And, you know, and you sat down and you thought about it, hey, what are we going to have? So it's just kind of one of those things that, it's interesting. Years and years ago, many years, probably before you were born. Oh my gosh. I worked for the American Cancer Society. And one of the things that we did was every year they put out their nutritional guidelines. And I was the corporate communications person. And so it was my responsibility to send those things out. And it was always very, you know, interesting as to what they recommended and things like that. And they tweak it every year and do different things. But I remember one of the biggest things they always said was moderation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to have beef. It's okay to have wine. Just do it in moderation. And I think that's one of the things that we kind of get caught up in is, you know, should we stop it altogether? No. Well, I mean, you know, obviously some of these things are based on if you're talking with a nutritionist, with your doctor, things like that. But also, you know, moderation really is okay. You know, like I can do one little piece of chocolate and be just as happy as if I eat an entire chocolate bar. The little piece of chocolate is much better for me than the entire chocolate bar.
Yes. Lately, I've been loving those Dove ice cream bites. They're like this
thing. I know. And you can have one, right? And you really are just as satisfied. And actually, it's more satisfied because you're not feeling that sugar rush, you know, and then the crash.
You know what's funny? Mm-hmm. I have some of my best customers. I did a survey of my best customers mm-hmm. of what they think about vitamin E's. And a couple of them said they think of it as a treat. Mm. And the way they're taking it is after a meal when you have that. Like,
it's dessert. Okay.
It's a little sweet. And or at breakfast when you're mm-hmm. really craving orange juice, but mm-hmm. you don't want to have like a giant cup of it. You just take your mm-hmm. one shot. Right. And I was like, that is so mm-hmm. such a compliment mm-hmm. to have someone think of your product as right. a treat. I love right. that.
Well, and you know, and then of course that really helps with kids, you know, and,
oh, yeah.
and so because yeah, if they're thinking it's a treat, they're gonna do it. I mean, you know, I come from the generation of Flintstone vitamins, where you know, kids took their vitamins because they were these cute little Flintstones, right? And same with gummies. Kids do think of those as treats.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like as a parent, you know, want to give your kid treats, mm-hmm. but it's all the better if you can kind of feel mm-hmm. like you're getting some extra nutrients mm-hmm. involved in there as well. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. So you did all of this in basically 2 years, you know, and I love that you mentioned the importance of getting good partners. You know, did you do outside financing?
You know, at the beginning, no. So okay. I had the benefit of starting my company a little bit later in my career. So okay. I did have...
You had a little cushion. Okay.
Some to invest mm-hmm. there. But in the beginning, we were growing online organically and slowly, mm-hmm. and it was very feasible to do that. Mm-hmm. But then now that we are expanding into retail, mm-hmm. that is a much more expensive proposition. Mm-hmm. It's the scales are mm-hmm. larger. You know, you need to mm-hmm. supply 100 stores of product. Mm-hmm. And also it's the inventory, like mm-hmm. just making enough product to do that.
Right.
So I have now brought in some outside funding from mm-hmm. individual investors. So like okay. angel investors.
Okay.
And I think that's a pretty typical progression for a mm-hmm. consumer products company because it does take quite a while to build traction mm-hmm. and a platform. Mm-hmm. A lot of people kind of start self-funded or bring in angels before you get to that institutional funding.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, not everybody goes on Shark Tank, right? You know, I watch that show every once in a while and I'm just amazed. For one thing, I'm amazed at the sharks, right? The investors. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, did you just say, okay, I'll give you $100,000. Wow. Like, really? Don't we all wish we had friends like that?
Yeah, right.
So, well, you know, one of the things that I notice is that you sell your product on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I love that. How did you get started? And what's it like dealing with the big guy?
So, you know, to me, Amazon is a little bit of a necessary evil. Mm-hmm. I hope no one's from Amazon's listening. Mm-hmm. Not that they're evil, but right. if as a business owner, I like people to buy, if they're going to mm-hmm. buy online, I'd like them to come to my website because then we have a direct relationship. Mm-hmm. I can follow up with emails. They engage with all of our wonderful content. I know a little bit more about them. Mm-hmm. On Amazon, it's a black box. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know much at all about the people that buy my product. I do not have their emails.
Right. Yeah. It just goes and that's it.
It just mm-hmm. goes. Mm-hmm. So it's, but on the other hand, I really like the whole mission of the company is making mm-hmm. this easy, tasty, fun. So if you do your shopping on Amazon and that's right. where you want to get the product, great. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say necessary evil in the sense that you got to be there mm-hmm. for people, but I would much prefer people to come to our website.
Right.
But the process to get set up with Amazon is a little bit onerous as a small business. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of paperwork and vetting, but mm-hmm. I'm glad for that as a consumer and shopper.
Right. Yeah, you want to know that what you're buying is a real product. And a lot of people don't realize that most products sold on Amazon are third-party type of things.
Yes. And but you do have to be careful because there are still some strange products. Like I've had personal experiences ordering things on Amazon. They come and it's not what you thought it was. But but as a vendor who's set up on Amazon, they do really vet and make sure and check you and your identity and your products. So that took a while.
It's their reputation that's on the line.
Yeah, right, right. So that did take a while. But once we got through that, our next big challenge, which is a little bit specific to Vitamin-E's, was the name, which originally I thought Vitamin-E's would be a great name because it was so close to the word vitamins. But the problem for several months, probably about 6 or 9 months, was that Amazon would auto-correct vitamins. Mm-hmm. So if you put in Vitamin-E's, it would automatically show you results for vitamins. Now, that sounds good, but the reality is...
Then you get thousands of products as opposed
tons
to...
Tons of money for that keyword. Mm-hmm. So that was a big challenge. Mm-hmm. Over time... The algorithm gets smart. So once it realized that people were actually searching for something called Vitamin-E's, then it stopped the auto correction. Mm-hmm. So that was good. Then we ran into a second challenge, which is even when it didn't auto correct, some of the big vitamin brands buy the word Vitamin-E's as a typo.
It's a little bit of the cheating process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a typo. So they think, oh, you were just, you meant to write vitamins and you accidentally wrote vitamins. Mm-hmm. So that is something that over time will. The algorithm will eventually figure out, nope, this is a brand, but you know, other big brands have more money to spend on keyword search results than we do. So Amazon has been a tough, it's been a tough platform for a number of reasons, but, for customers that hear about Vitamin-E's and want to find it and find it on Amazon and that's easy for them, then it we're there, but it has not been a source of a lot of new customers given these challenges. And it's also expensive. You have to pay for the keyword. Mm-hmm. So let's say I want to buy the keyword immune support or immune, you know, immune or whatever. I'm competing with all the other brands. So they're all paying the money.
Interesting.
And Amazon will prioritize the result of the biggest brands because that's how they make
it makes them more money.
So as a startup, it's a really challenging environment. So I don't really rely on Amazon to fuel the business, but I'm there.
Right. Well, and it's funny, I was talking in a mastermind group that I'm in with another person who has products on Amazon. And they said the hardest thing for them is exactly what you mentioned. They don't know who buys it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all like to build relationships with the people who buy our product, especially when you want to say, hey, we've got something new. We've got a special, we've got whatever, you know, and you want to add them to your newsletter and, you know, all these things. And you don't get that from Amazon, you know, because they're for a variety of reasons. For one thing, they don't want them buying direct from you, right? They want it to still go through Amazon. But yeah, so it's hard to build those relationships. And I know a lot of people who decide they're not going to do it. They're still, you know, and the gentleman that I was talking with, he said, you know, he knows he's just going to be smaller, but he'll be better because he will have relationships with the people and be able to send out his monthly emails to them. You know, and then of course, part of it was, well, you know, could you add that in your packaging, sign up for our newsletter? And you've got a little QR code on the bottles, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's how you
talk about that.
That's
a huge part of our strategy. So on the website, I'll show you, we sell 12 packs. So we saw these like boxes. But it's a bigger price point. You're committing to buying 12 of them. So what we've now done, now that we're in retail, most of our retail sales are individual bottles. And this is a much more affordable price point to try the product.
Okay.
So what we're doing now is people try the product in store. If they like it, they scan the QR code that you mentioned. They can join our email list. And then we can introduce them to our 12 packs and subscriptions. We have great subscription rates. Our average subscription length is 15 months.
Okay.
And our average repurchase rate on our website is 62%. So once people come to the website and they try it and they get they stay. So that's been a great model because the retailers are happy because people are buying the singles and they're getting good sales on that. We're happy because we're converting people to the larger pack sizes that aren't sold in retail. And it works out really well. So that's our strategy to expand going forward.
I love it. Now, is it only here in the US? I'm assuming no, because Amazon is wherever, but
So it is Amazon US for now, primarily because of some of the labeling requirements for beverages in the US. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to expand internationally at some point.
I love it. You know, and of course, the whole thing with international is they think of food differently. You know, and in many cases, it is much more, you know, they're not dealing with the preservatives and all of those things. They're eating more fresh foods, more, things like that. And so this, you know, I could see where this would be a big appeal.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunities for it, all over the world. So someday I'd love to be everywhere.
I love it. I love it. So what are some more of the challenges that you had?
Oh, goodness. Well, I kind of touched on it earlier in the discussion, but I think the mental challenge is tough, just managing yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, when you work in corporate, you have a title, you have a salary, you have a specific role, like your value is well-defined. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, this is my role. This thing over there, that's not my problem. Mm-hmm. If the company, you know, unless you're the CEO, if the company doesn't do well, well, that's not, I was doing my job, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's lots of pros and cons to that. But as an entrepreneur, you don't have any of that external validation. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have some wins, like you may win an account or win a new investor or something. But honestly, those are fleeting. So those are like once in a while you get a win. Most of the time, you're just grinding away on your own, pushing, getting a lot of rejection and a lot of roadblocks and challenges. So that is one of the hardest parts, is really just kind of like getting up and trying again and staying positive and looking for the learning instead of wanting to just quit, or taking a break instead of quitting. So that's, I think, one of the bigger challenges. I think a couple more specific challenges. One is that Vitamin E is a pretty unique product. It's kind of a beverage, and it's actually labeled like a beverage.
With all of the little code stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, versus a supplement, but it's also kind of like a supplement. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of challenge with working with existing players in the industry, like distributors or retailers, or even investors sometimes, explaining, you know, everyone wants to know, well, what's the other product that's already doing well? You know, it's like, well, this is new.
Right.
It's like, where does it go in the store? And how do I think about it? So that is a challenge of just, you know, explaining something that's totally new and getting it out there. And then I think in general, too, building a consumer brand is tough. You need, I heard once, you need 7 touch points before you buy a consumer product. And I would argue that for a product like Vitamin E, where you're actually drinking it and it's like a nutrition product, you probably need even more than that. So let's say it's 7 to 10.
Right.
That's hard. So like, if let's say I put out a social media post and you're scrolling through and you see my social media post, you go, oh, that looks interesting. Well, you keep, well, that was one.
And then we scroll right on.
Yeah, that one touch point and I may never see you again. Or, you know, even if I'm doing paid social and I'm retargeting you, 7 times is a lot.
Right.
And that has been a challenge for us. So we've experimented with all sorts of different marketing and sampling. And some things work better than others, like sampling events where I can get you to actually taste the product, not just give you a bottle for free, but actually have you taste it in a store where you can buy it right away. That works really well. You taste it, you buy it.
Right.
But a lot of
that's
other...
why people like going to Costco, right? They snack their way around the thing.
Exactly. But a lot of other formats are tougher. And for a while, I was giving away full bottles at events, like maybe like a yoga class. Give everyone at the yoga class a free bottle. Well, if you think about the amount of effort, okay, you taste it. Great. That's good. Okay. Now I'm busy. I got distracted. Or like maybe I like look at the brand name and then I'm about to Google it, or I get distracted, or I Google it and it autocorrects to vitamins and I can't find the brand I gave up. So that's
my favorite is Google the word, or, you know, I'm sorry, autocorrect is I'm not trying to type duck.
Right. That's funny. Yeah. So it is, that is a challenge. So one shift that we've made, like I said, is going to this email focus, because if I can capture your email address, it's very easy for me to touch you 7 times. I'll send you a recipe. I'll send you an article about gut health. I'll share an expert interview about your immune system. You'll learn and learn. And then 7 emails later, you're like, okay, I do think this is the product for me. So that is one way that we're addressing it. But I think that's a problem not a problem, a challenge. Right. Consumer brands in general, it takes a very long time to build awareness and sales when you need so many touch points.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, long ago when I went to college, we were told, you know, 7 times, and it's far more than that now, just because it's inundated with so much. You know, when I look at Facebook, probably every 5th post is a sponsored post. You know, and it doesn't help to hide them. Another one pops up, you know, for the people who are like, oh, I'll just hide them. No, they just keep coming. You know, and on Google now, obviously the first things that come up are sponsored posts. You know, that's how they make their money. Now it's going to be interesting, you know, the whole AI thing, but that's a totally different discussion, because I think we're going to be able to target better, you know, as opposed to just typing in healthy eating, we're going to be able to actually write a question out, and the AI systems will go through and maybe figure out, because the search engines want you to find what you want, because otherwise you're like me, squirrel, and you go, oh, you know, but yeah, so they want those things to work too. But yeah, the whole marketing thing, because I was thinking, you know, oh, this would be a great thing. Say, you know, you mentioned marathons, you know, you give them away. Well, everybody goes glug, glug, pitches it. Right. And so they don't have the bottle to go, ooh, that was really good. Where did that come from? And so, yeah. Or the store things, you know, that's the funny thing. Like when you go through Costco, you go, you get the sample and you're like, I don't remember what it was. And now, which is why they hand you a coupon at the same time, right? You know, and so that way you're not just getting the product, you're getting information about it. But I love that you have the newsletter, because that is such a thing. You know, we mentioned it. It's relationships. You know, it is. We all know we work with and we buy from people we know, like, and trust. So health is one of those big things. You know, we're not going to just do everything willy-nilly. I want to know that what I am getting is good for me. So if I've read in your newsletter, you know, even just, and I haven't looked at it, but, you know, maybe if it's, here's this great recipe, I'm like, okay, you know, that was cool. You know, or you're talking about the nutrition aspects, things like that, that builds on that know, like, trust.
Totally. Yeah, totally. So it's a process. It's hard for small brands.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And, you know, and the other thing is, you know, figuring out scale, right? Especially when you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to go on Amazon. I listen to the radio. I actually listen to the Real Radio here in Atlanta, on their morning program. I just like their morning program. And one of their ads is for their station. And it's something along the lines of, you know, are you that small business owner that is listening and thinking, wow, the hundreds of thousands of people, and that was very specific, the hundreds of thousands of people who are listening to this could buy my product. Okay, could you fulfill those orders? You know, and many years ago, I worked with this woman who was paying me to promote her book, and it was a great book. But she told me, I want to be on Oprah's Book of the Month. This was long enough ago that Oprah was still on and she did her Book of the Month. And I said, that's a great goal. But if you were featured on Oprah's Book of the Month and you overnight got 30,000 orders, could you fulfill it?
That's amazing. That's awesome. And, you're right.
Yeah. And she, of course, said, no. You know, and I said, okay, so that's why you build up to it. You know, you didn't, when you were thinking, hey, I want to do this, I mean, you might have been thinking, hey, I want to be on Amazon, but that wasn't, I want to be on Amazon tomorrow.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Amazon is a little bit more incremental, but especially when you get into retail, you know, like Walmart. Thousands of stores.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazon, you know, is kind of still an on-demand type of thing. And you got to have shelf space.
Yes. And a lot of companies do go under, not just because you might, let's say you land the big retailer, you do a huge production run, you get all the product, you put it in the stores. Well, how are you going to make sure it sells? Because you have to do sampling support and marketing to get the product to move. And, and a lot of these retailers, if it doesn't sell, you have to buy it back. And so companies can actually go out of business by landing that big account.
Right. Well, and, you know, this was, you know, from your days dealing with alcohol beverages, it's all about product placement, right? You know, you might sell to Walmart, but if it's on the bottom shelf, if it's on an end cap, or one of those things in the middle that I always run into, you know, that's very different. And that takes a different relationship, all those things. So, you know, we've only got about 5 minutes left. If somebody came to you and said, hey, Leslie, I've got an idea and I want to do this, what would be your first piece of advice?
So I think I would tell you to start small and just start learning. Just mm-hmm. 5 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Do a little bit of research. Talk to some people. That's another thing. I think people starting businesses often feel like they want to protect their idea and not tell anyone. Mm-hmm. But the sooner you can get it out there and start getting feedback, the sooner you can start learning and making progress. Mm-hmm. If you hold on to your idea and keep it a secret, you never do anything with it. Right. Then it's never going to get out there. Mm-hmm. So that would be my advice, is just if you have an idea, if there's something in your head about something that the world is missing or that you want that's not out there, just start looking into it. Right. Start Googling who else is doing similar mm-hmm. things. Start, if you can, mix it up in your kitchen mm-hmm. or just run the idea by some mm-hmm. friends and start just getting it out there.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. Well, like I said, we've only got about 5 minutes left. How do people find you and connect with you?
Yes, I'd love them to. So my favorite place is our website, vitamineastbrand.com. So come to vitamineastbrand.com. You can join our email list. You can read about the products. We have a great blog, if I do say so myself, with recipes mm-hmm. and expert interviews from nutritionists and holistic doctors about your gut and the importance of it and all these different things. So there's a lot of rich content there. We're also on Amazon and Walmart Marketplace. Mm-hmm. So you can find us on those platforms if that's the easiest place to find mm-hmm. us. Just make sure when you search, you might have to add some keywords like vitamin E's shot or vitamin E's juice to find it. Mm-hmm. And then if you do live in the Midwest United States, mm-hmm. we are in Fresh Thyme Farmers Market mm-hmm. and the Fruitful Yield, which is about 80 store locations, as well as a couple of other mm-hmm. Independents. So if you mm-hmm. go to our website, we have a store locator.
Okay.
Where you can find the stores mm-hmm. nearest you mm-hmm. in, you know, a few Midwestern states. Mm-hmm. And I'm working hard to get us in some more retail locations as soon as possible.
Wild Oats would seem to be kind of a...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they are an Amazon company.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, this has been so much fun. And I'm going to have to check out more because, you know, like I said, I do all these supplements and are they really doing me any good? You know, I think that's the thing. And so, yeah, I mean, this is just so interesting. But, you know, and I would love to follow up with you, especially when you launch new products, to find out that process. You know, was it as easy as it was at the start, or, you know, all of those various things. So, you know, I'd love to have you back on again. But until then, Leslie, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
You know, just take the chance. Do, you know, because I had the entrepreneurial bug for like 20 years before I did it. And so it's not to say you have to do it right away, but you know, if you're always thinking someday, you know, just do the tiny little thing, just put your toe in the water. Cause sometimes I think when we say someday, we're really just avoiding doing something that we might be nervous about doing, because it has been a challenging journey, but I am so thankful that I did finally do this. Cause it is something that I'd always thought about. And I, even though it may not work out, I don't know. It has been just so fun to work on something that I'm passionate about. So I would encourage you, if you're thinking about that thing, just give it a chance.
Oh my gosh. This has been so much fun. Especially to learn about how you did it from the ground up. I mean, that's what is so cool. I'm Deb Creer. I've been having a great discussion with Leslie Danford. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.